The following is a recording of the Maria Bologna teleconference with iAdvise on Friday, February 28th, 2014 at 10 a.m. Central Time. Good day. My name is Jennifer, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Mega Cable conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer period. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Rafael Borja. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Thank you, Jennifer, and welcome to Megacable's fourth quarter 2013 conference call. Thank you very much for participating today. Joining us from Guadalajara are Deputy Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Raimundo Fernandez, and Mr. Luis Zetter, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer. They will be taking your questions during the Q&A session. Mr. Enrique Yamuni Robles, Megacable CEO, unfortunately will not be on today's call due to a scheduling conflict. It is important to mention that comments made today may constitute forward-looking statements which do not account for future economic circumstances, company performance, or financial results. These are subject to different conditions. For a complete disclaimer, we ask that you refer to the quarterly release that was issued yesterday. If you did not receive the information and would like to be added to the Megacable mailing list, please contact iAdvise Corporate Communications at 212-406-3691. At this time, Raimundo will begin his presentation. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone, and thank you for your interest in Megacable again. We will be taking the time today to briefly discuss the company's results for the fourth quarter 2013. 2013 was a year of marked changes, with difficult macroeconomic factors affecting the overall Mexican economy, but also with low reforms that affect, mainly positively, our potential and current subscribers. In spite of these factors, we managed to provide growth in all our business segments, with great financial results in our opinion. Regarding the telecommunication reform, we believe that the new framework is positive for the Mexican market, as it facilitates regulatory review and progress in the industry. It also offers existing players, such as Megacable, the opportunity to compete more effectively. The implementation of the Most Carrier Must Offer is an example of it. Thus, despite the volatility of our country's economy at times and an ever-increasing competitive landscape, Megacable faced these challenges head-on and was able to successfully provide, once again, solid EBITDA growth. Our focus, as you know, is to offer the market high-quality products and services. During the quarter, video subscriber increased once again, but more importantly, so did the ARPU. Digitalization in general, new and more HD channels, and advanced video services like On Demand, our OTT platform, made this possible. Our SD platform also improved by launching a new guide to those subscribers. Megacable continued implementing its digitization program, like I said before, in the most important cities of its network. Currently, 22 of our systems are digitized, and as of the end of the year 2013, Megacable has added 153,000 digital subscribers compared to 2012. As you may recall from past discussions, this program will enable the company to improve quality video service and will leverage additional operating efficiencies via expanding network capacity. At the same time, this program possesses the ability to offer subscribers premium packages. For example, during fourth quarter 13, Megacable was offering 40 HD channels. Now, at the end, subscribers are able to enjoy 50 channels, and our goal is to conclude 2014 with a total of 70 channels while offering one of the highest quality images in the pay TV market. Internet subscriber growth was spectacular, reaching more than 50,000 new ads and more than 1 million subs. The quality, great service, and speed of our products made this possible. Our speeds increased to a minimum of 10 megabits in major markets, and in general, 20, 50, or 100 megas per second are now offered in all our markets across the nation. Complementing the broadband service, our Metro Wi-Fi deployment is operating in most of our markets, Now, our subscribers can connect to internet in strategic public and private locations wherever they move. The business segment experienced also good results. During 2013, Megacable purchased Olam, a technology integrator company with site corporate, wide corporate and government sector expertise. With this added ability, our subsidiary, Metrocable, is in a better position to penetrate this market, allowing Megacable to participate in tenders and projects that require the sale of fully integrated solutions and not just connectivity. The portfolio of services Megacable can now offer extends to cover all market segments and technology solutions that the customer requires. As a result, once again, Metrocable will continue to expand services, consolidating operations within the company's business areas into a single market area, serving business, corporate, and other telecommunication operators. At the moment, Metrocable is focused on delivering the best service and becoming, again, the carrier of cable. As of the close of 2013, Megacable completed 50% of the migration of its new telephony platform. The new platform based on the IMS, this is the IP multimedia subsystem architecture, will bring substantial value-added services to traditional phone services, promoting a much more fully integrated and ubiquitous experience to the customers when using voice. Megacable can be... Hello, are we there?
Please go ahead.
Okay. Megacable has initiated a project to revamp the EPG platform, which is our electronic program guide on the video side. This is for video set-top boxes. Customers will experience a complete new look and feel and a more user-friendly interface to interact with when operating to the set-top box. The added interactivity will also add to the customer's enjoyment of watching TV. Early adopter of this service in the cable business. Today, we're focused on two main areas: improving content, placing attractive programs for the subscribers, and also maximizing the user experience with more practical and simple functionality. With this, as well as the broadband upgrade, Megacable can offer advanced interactive high definition and video on-demand services to a larger range of customers than ever before, and expects to increase coverage of video on-demand service traditional cities in Mexico. Megacable is following the worldwide trend and has started adapting and architecting its network to support the next generation of the IP addressing scheme known as IPv6. This implementation will prepare the Megacable network to handle a much more resilient architecture and future-proof its service deployment. Moving on, Megacable has begun building two major state-of-the-art headends, where it will distribute all its video, data, and voice service from those centralized locations. The headends will follow the most advanced standards in data center facilities construction and technical architecture with 99.99% availability, and will be certified by major standard institutes like ICREA Level 4 and Uptime Level 3. The two headends will serve as Megacable major hub for production of video content and hosting cloud services. The new headend will also host a completely new and redesigned network operation center that will optimize monitoring for Megacable services. All this looking for quality of service and better products for our customers. In terms now of operational results, not only projects, for year-end we reached 2,143,000 subscribers, in 951,000 subscribers in broadband. Those 2 million were in video subscribers, and now 951,000 subscribers in broadband segment and 578,000 subscribers in telephony. The broadband internet segment registered solid performance in terms of net adds, increasing the base by 51,000 net additions compared to third quarter 13, and 116,000 compared to fourth quarter 12, representing 6% and 14% growth, respectively. Looking ahead, we expect this trend to continue in 2014. Megacable is fully aware that the key to future success in this industry is the internet, and we're fully prepared to leverage all of our strengths and expertise to be at the forefront in the coming years. Related to ARPUs, Video increased 5% quarter to quarter and 8% year over year. Broadband increased 1% quarter to quarter and rose 6% year over year, while telephony decreased 1% quarter to quarter and increased 5% year over year. As a result, the unique ARPU increased 15% from 353.5 pesos to 407.60 pesos per subscriber year over year. Mega Cable has upheld the strategy of being more selective in terms of the subscriber quality, and this has been very effective. This means focusing on keeping a healthy subscriber base, that is, customers and clients that pay their bills on time and are loyal users of the service. As a result of this approach and the services and upgrades described before, the company experienced an outstanding 12% revenue increase and reported improved margins. Furthermore, the company witnessed an improved performance in terms of RGU additions, as well as a rebound in subscriber-based growth across all services. The network continues to go through upgrades with the aim of providing the best service at the right price. For 2014, most of our broadband subscribers can expect to have at least 10 megabits per second across our different systems, with the possibility of increasing, like I said before, to 20, 50, and 100 megabits with DOCSIS 3.0 or fiber deployment according to different markets. During 2013, the internet network capacity increased by approximately 35%, the number of optical nodes by 11%, while the total network expanded by approximately 6% year over year. This concludes my remarks. Luis Zetter will now review our financial performance. Please go ahead, Luis.
Thank you, Raimundo. Megacable consolidated services revenues increased 21% from fourth quarter 2012 to fourth quarter 2013, reaching 2.7 billion pesos and reaching over 10 billion for the entire 2013, a 12% increase year over year. On a per segment basis, video contributed with 57% of revenue, internet 20%, telephony 11%, and others accounted for 12%. A result of Megacable's strategy on growing the corporate enterprise and business market, in fourth quarter 2013, revenue from the other segment grew 136% compared to fourth quarter 2012. 87 of those 136 points came from the acquisition of Ola alone. In addition to that, MTM and Metro Carrier grew 27-25% respectively. Meanwhile, cost of services increased 9% compared to the fourth quarter 2012. And this is mainly due to the business nature cost of sales in Ola, because they are higher than in our segment. These drove our overall cost higher. Excluding the aforementioned transaction cost, increases would have reached 4%, which was lower than the 5% increase in RGUs. These figures already include the most carrying, most offered impact in the programming cost. As a result, consolidated EBITDA rose 26% from fourth quarter 2012 to fourth quarter 2013, reaching 1,194 million for the quarter, and 15% or 4,356 million for the full 2013, for a margin of 43.5% in fourth quarter 2013 and 43.3% for the year. Adjusted EBITDA for cable operations rose 25% from fourth quarter 2012 to fourth quarter 2013, reaching a margin over cable revenues of 44% in fourth quarter 2013 and 44% for the year. We continue to work on improving our operating expenses to reach the level of savings we have achieved in cost of services. Now, with regards to the company balance sheet, total assets increased 6% from fourth quarter 2012 to fourth quarter 2013, thus maintaining Megacable's leverage ratio. The cash and temporary investment line increased by approximately 127 million pesos during the same period. Despite the dividend payment, property, systems, and equipment, net increased 7% or 822 million. Due to the incorporation of OLA's balance sheet, major purchases of TV set boxes for the digitalization project that took the highest speed during the second half of the year, the acquisition of other equipment, the construction of new kilometers, and upgrade of a portion of the current network. Account receivable from customers and other increased a net of 133% compared to fourth quarter 2012, mainly, again, to the incorporation of OLA's numbers into the balance sheet. Finally, before we move on to your questions, I want to mention CAPEX for the fourth quarter 2013. Megacable invested 618 million, reaching 2 billion pesos for the year. It was, again, mainly allocated towards the purchase of terminal subscriber equipment, fixed assets, as well as the updates needed for the growth and modernization of the cable network. That concludes our presentation. We will now be happy to take your questions. Operator, please begin the Q&A session.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order they are received, and if you wish to remove yourself from the questioning queue, you may do so by pressing star 2. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Our first question comes from Andres Medina Mora with GBM.
Hi, guys. Good morning, and congratulations on the results. I was wondering, we saw an increase in the EBITDA margin for your cable operations, both sequentially and year over year, to 50%. Could we attribute this mostly to the must carry, must offer, or is there an additional effect we should know about? And also, I was wondering if we could hear your views on the possibility of Telmex entering television now with the change in regulation. Thanks.
Okay, so the first point on the annex and the report that we provide or comment to the results, we made a mistake. There was an error on the formula where you see the 50% there. Really, if you do the math, it's really 44% on the fourth quarter.
44.5%
on the fourth quarter. So our apologies for that.
We made a release for this.
Yeah, we already made a statement on the relevant topic on the internet. So you can find that, and we apologize for that. But anyway, 44% is really the number that should be there, which is not low compared to previous years. So yes, it reflects an increase, anyways, on 2 points compared to last year.
Andres, we did we feel very, very happy about the margin we have. Unfortunately, we want to apologize for to everybody about that formula mistake that we have on the. It was not affected from the results we present. It's only affected on the summary of the results and the form that we provide to you. We were very shocked about that, and we apologize again. But going back to the results, the 44.4%. We believe it still reflects one of the best or the best margin in the industry, reflecting how we're managing this part. The effect of the most carry, most offer that we have on that is reflected on that part.
Okay.
And it's already reflecting in our results on that part. We already have a negotiation and a contract with the broadcasters in that part to have their pay TV channels. We reached an agreement with Televisa in that part to have all the channels that they do have. But the savings on the off-air channels was already reflected. So we are not we did not leave our subscribers without any content in that part, and we took finally a much more better price and cost, programming cost of those channels that we have before. We feel comfortable of the negotiation we did, and that's reflected on that part. On the second one, you were asking about how we see the television regulation on that part. Is that correct, Andres? That was the second question?
Yes, and the possibility of new players entering the market, such as Telmex or other players.
Well, you know, the reforms are in place. The first one that took place was the most current, most offer. And as you know, there are more concerns in the market regarding the rights of Dish for broadcasting the channels across the nation. That's already been solved, and they have the right to, at least on the reform, the way we understand is that they have the right to provide national footprint to those channels. So now we're going to have Dish with the off-air channels national in that part. We still don't know how the picture is going to end with all the problems that they have between the contract and Dish, you know, being related to Telmex. All that soap opera, I will leave it to the authorities in that part. We are just taking advantage of what's up to us in that part. New players in the market, well, you need to have the authority on that part. I want to see how this ends. You know, at the end, it's been proven that Dish is related to Telmex. You know, the contracts are there. And Telmex, of course, is going to be one of the preponderant players in the industry. You know, so I'm not so sure what that will make to video. You guys can calculate that part. You know, and my logic will be not to provide more arms to the gun in that part, more bullets to the gun on that part, until the market is more fair in that area. So I'm not so sure that's gonna come very close. But the IFETEL is the one that should have to answer that part as soon as the secondary will come, the reform. We do not expect anything to change on the first semester. Everything will start taking place for us for the second semester, if any changes at all. At the end, you know, we already have more competition coming to the market, in major markets coming, those ones coming from Total Play, from USA, which at the end is Televisa too. We have competition from Axtel, Extremo, in very few markets with all that. Sky and Dish is already so we're very, very aware that we need to live, and we're living already in a very competitive market. I don't know if I answered your question. At least I gave you my
opinion. Yes, thank you. And just one last question, if I could. If you could give us a few more details on the integration of Ola, just to have a clearer sense of the details.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you for asking about Ola. Ola is a telco integrator that is more related to the managed services and the sale of hardware related to the connectivity that we provide. As you have listened to me in the past, you know, I'm very excited about the business segment. That's something that we, all the Mega Cable management, are committed and feel we have an opportunity there, like you can see now in our numbers. So we went and we looked for something that complement what we were missing. What we were missing? We did have a very good connectivity through the GTAC and our 19,000 kilometers of fiber across the nation, plus the other 45,000 HFC that we have. So we reach all the different segments connecting those. But when we get to provide them also the equipment that was needed to connect those services, we were lacking that ability. We did not sell hardware at that time, you know, LAN switching and routing and all those devices to connect it. And sometimes we were missing one leg in terms of compared to competition, because the competition comes and says, okay, I'll give you an SCN1 or whatever bandwidth that you need on that part, or E1s that are the minimum that we provide here. But at the same time, I can provide you and change you the hardware you need, you know, to connect those, and also I'll manage the service so you don't have to worry about. So when our salesmen on the metal carrier side came to those markets, you know, of course they were they have a portion of a full product. Now we have a more robust portfolio. Ola will also help us to integrate the cloud services that we want to launch to the small and medium enterprise. So we're very happy about that. We also took care that company, the corporate headquarters are also in Guadalajara, where we are, with offices in Mexico City and three other major markets. And the ADN, I call it, of those the management of that company really has made a very, very good team with our Mega Cable management on that part. So we're very happy to have all the management on board with us, and we look to increase our share of the business segment on that part.
Great. Thank you, guys, and congratulations on the results.
Thank you, Andres.
Thank you. Yes. Our next question comes from Vera Rossi with Goldman Sachs.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions. First, on the must-carry, must-offer, could you tell us what is the level on a per-subscriber basis that you reach in your negotiations with Televisa? And my second question is about how sustainable is your level of ARPU per user that you reported in the fourth quarter, how sustainable it is for the next quarters? Thank you.
Thank you, Rosie. Well, we cannot release a per subscriber basis. That's something that we have NDAs with all our programmers from that part. We can tell you how many basic points our percentage was improved by the negotiation, and was around two points on that part. 2 points comes by 2 points came from the Moscow. You can take 2 points. Then you can add and, you know, divide, and probably you will get to the number I'm not able to tell you at this moment. You know. Regarding the ARPUs, we believe we have terrific ARPUs on the fourth quarter. We have extraordinary revenues on that coming from advertising and the business segment. We integrate Ola, but the integration of Ola has also a cycle that goes up on the fourth quarter and then stables on the other one. So we did have a good ARPU generation, even though Ola takes for the full ARPU. We believe that we're gonna decrease a little bit those ARPUs. Luis, I don't know if you have the you can tell the number. We can talk about that in the guidance and tell you exactly what we believe the outputs or video are. So yes, we're going to decrease a little bit on that segment, but once you see the guidance, I hope you will be happy on the numbers we're forecasting. If you want, because it's going to be a question that yes. Normally you're going to ask, Luis, why don't you tell me the guidance that we have, and then that can bring more questions from everybody, maybe on the side.
Yeah, although we finished with a video ARPU above 241, for example, almost 242, we expect the year to really have an average of 238, 239. So we don't expect to reach the fourth quarter ARPU as per Raimundo explained. On internet, we think it's going to keep around the 200. And telephony, we think it's going to be between 186, 187, something around that. Basically, that's in terms of ARPU. I'm not sure if you want me to provide all the guidance.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Can I just ask a question?
Sure.
Okay. In video or pay TV, what were the drivers for the increase in ARPU in the fourth quarter? Because my understanding is that Olia, the other company that you recently acquired, it's under okay. Other revenues.
Advertising. Yes. Yes, Vera. We did have, in the video segment, we also have the right to provide local advertising. And we sell advertising to local businesses in that part. We have a good close of the year that make an additional and an extraordinary revenue on the income side. It was important, and that was the driver that took us from, like Luis is saying, to 241 pesos on the video side. We expect that to go down to 238. You can say 238. I feel more comfortable with that number, which, if you can see, it's a decrease of 3 pesos. And also remember that we have the last of the year payment. You know, we have the advance payment, it's called. The advance payment for the full year and the 6 months in advance that we collect to our subscribers. So that's the reason why we're forecasting a decrease compared to fourth quarter. If you compare to our revenue, video revenue, for 2013 as a total, we do have an increase.
Yeah.
It's a little bit higher compared to the other one. It's 2% higher than what we have for the average of 2013.
I see. And one follow-up question. I'm sorry if I missed something, but when did you acquire Olia? Because I tried to find in your previous releases and I couldn't find. So can you tell us when you acquired and what was the price?
Okay. Oh, yes.
Where it was announced? And where you announced? Because I'm sorry if I missed something.
We integrate Ola. We acquired Ola pretty much for the fourth quarter. That's why we're releasing now the comment of Ola. To part that, it's a small integrated, it's not that large in our operation, but the numbers are affected only for the fourth quarter. Really, you don't have that much. That's when you can feel the part of Ola as a whole in our company.
Right.
Yes.
And basically, Ola had an outstanding fourth quarter for them. Actually, they really got the revenue. 40% of the revenue for the year came on the last 3 months, so basically that's why it became so important in that moment. We don't expect that to be the same case for the quarter. This is a seasonal thing related to government spending. That's why they really got a good fourth quarter that came just on time when we acquired the company. So that's why it came a little bit outstanding of the numbers that we have and we are forecasting for them.
Okay, but my question is a little different. It's when do you acquire this company and for how much? Because I couldn't find in the releases.
Right. We have not written down anything. There was only mention in a conversation or two, and I don't think we have made any statement.
We don't have a problem telling. It's a small operation, right? Okay. We're quite all for approximately, you can say that we invest less than $10 million and a little bit more than $5 million.
Okay. Okay, my suggestion in the future
is it's not an operation that really, you know, it's not a large operation. We feel it's a strategic, and we can grow and learn a lot from them. But really, it's not a large, like I said before. Sorry. We will be more careful and try to inform you of those in the future.
Okay, yeah, it will be helpful because I think the difference between your numbers and consensus were pretty high this quarter. Thank you.
Sorry about that. You know,
okay.
Really, believe me that the numbers that we acquired, if you see, do not match the growth that we have, and it was because of the cycle. You know, it's not a large company. It's a company that doesn't build that much in that sense, but it has a good end of the year. Or beginning of the quarter for us, whatever you can feel. So we do not expect those same numbers to keep. You know, they have two good contracts at the end of fourth quarter, and that's what really makes look Ola larger. That's what it really is for us. You know, what we acquired, we did not acquire Ola, like I explained, Andres, because of the large amount of revenue that they have as of this moment. We did acquire Ola because we believe it can help us MetroCard to be more efficient attacking, you know, and servicing the business segment. That will be the logic.
And also there are, starting the first quarter in 2014, you will see a specific line for the enterprise. So it will be MetroCarrier, it will be OLA. So we will give you more detail on that, so it will be easier for you to read and understand.
That's something we discussed the last, or we talked to you in the last conference. We want to keep a good track of what we're doing on the business segment. Hopefully, and everything will be good for us, and we'll continue to provide good results on that part. We want you guys to look and be very, very clear and transparent on those results.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Andre Saba with Credit Suisse.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. Good morning, Raimundo, Luis. Well, I wanted to follow up with the OLA theme. I know you've commented quite a lot already, but I just wanted to ask what we saw, and you said it was a high percentage of the yearly revenues that came in the last quarter, but we did see a full quarter of consolidation in 2013 of OLA. And also,
yes.
If you can finish providing the rest of the guidance for the year.
Sure. Okay. Yes. Answer number one, yes. We included full results for the full quarter, so the complete three months of OLA. So that's yes. And on the remaining of the guidance, in terms of subscribers, We are expecting a growth in cable subscribers of around 8%. On internet, we are expecting a 15% growth, and on telephony, a 10% growth. In terms of revenues, we're expecting to grow around 11.5%, maybe 12%. And on EBITDA, we are expecting a growth of around 13%.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Luis. And is it possible to break down a bit that EBITDA growth to know how much of that is the impact from the mass offer expected for 2014, and how much is the benefit from GPEC? Thank you so much.
Let us work on that. We don't have that number right now. It will be very.
I'll send it.
Yeah, we'll send it to you, Andre, on that part. If you see our guidance, I mean, we're forecasting a 12% increase in revenue, coming from those subscribers that we have. We believe that we can reach that 8% video subscriber growth. Even though 2013 was a difficult year for us on the if you recall the second quarter and third quarter, you know we start doing start growing on the fourth quarter a little bit on that part. So our average subscriber is low, and since we did not have a growth of subscribers last year, our average subscribers in terms of bringing new revenue to the company are not that high. If we grow, this means if we grow 8% subscriber, our average subscribers really that counts for increasing revenue is pretty much half of that, 4%, 5%. That's what we expect. That's why the income goes to 12% in general, including OLA and including all the operations that we have. We have a terrific fourth quarter, but as I said, it's a cycle from OLA. We have extraordinary advertising, but at the end, we did have also increases of 14% revenue for fourth quarter of this year, if you consider all the operations of what we normally have. So we I think we are very, very clear and in line with what we can provide to you. Hopefully, if we are efficient, we will be talking in April and looking at the better results in subscribers and video, and we'll be more than glad to adjust this to a higher guidance. But we believe this is conservative. It's still providing good results, growing the EBITDA above our revenues, and that's because we have, like you know, the advantages of the cost of internet and programming on that part, which we will send to you exactly. But also, we have an increase on OPEX on that part to get to the numbers that we're providing. We need to sell more and to serve more subscribers. So I think it's a good guidance in general.
Thanks a lot. And sorry if I may, MetroCarrier has also had pretty good performance in 3Q and 4Q. What is expected of that segment for the rest of 2014? And sorry, just the last one on CapEx, what you are expecting. Thanks so much.
Oh, yeah, we miss the CapEx. Do you have, Luis, the breakdown for the MetroCarrier side on that part?
Right. On MetroCarrier, we expect also a growth like it's been on the on last year. So we think it's going to be around 10% as well, 8-10%. So we will detail more on the first quarter where we break down the you know all the business and enterprise income.
MetroCarrier has a higher revenue for 2014. We need to tell them exactly the breakdown. Right now we have the number breakdown video of MetroCarrier which we provide to hotels inside our numbers. But take the idea that MetroCarrier grows higher than the 12% we're giving you. On the other hand, video, for example, I can tell you that the ARPU, like we said, is decreasing from 241 in the fourth quarter to 238, but we are providing an increase in video compared to the whole year because we continue to digitize that more system, and we really expect 2014 to provide the advanced services I was telling you before on my speech. The technology is really coming as we speak. This means the advanced guide and the HD set-top boxes. Finally, we can be more aggressive in the next months to come on that part, and that will offset something that we have also, which are lower economic price packages. That I didn't tell you about that, but we are doing in some specific regions or markets where we're having trouble increasing penetration, or we're having problem increasing subscriber base. That's where we're launching new and more aggressive packages that, of course, are going to lower our ARPU, but we expect those to be offset by the increase of the AC and all that part. And at the end, MetroCarrier, you can say, is gonna increase more. It's taking a much more important stake of the revenue, of the pie that we have as a company. It's not longer the 5%. I don't remember if it's 8-9% or something, 12%.
Altogether, we are
only fourth quarter. Only fourth quarter, but we expect to get around 10%, which now it really makes sense to provide to you guys a different segment for the business segment, which is, you know, something related to the 10% of the revenue.
Thanks. And the CapEx?
Okay. All CapEx, please.
Right. As you remember, CapEx for the, well, as you can see, CapEx for the full year, we really got to 21% of the revenues in 2013, and we expect to get to 23% on this year. Our average on the previous year has been around 23, so that's the same figures that we want to keep. We think again on the 23%. And that is like 2.5 billion pesos.
Thank you much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Omar Ruiz with Signum Research.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is, could you disclose what was the increase in the fourth quarter in revenues without your new addition, Ola Business?
Yes. The increase was 16.5%.
The increase that we got with taking out Ola and
17%.
Sorry,
remember
did you
that we have two, yes, we have two major factors that affect that increase in revenue to get to the 21 that you have.
15%.
15%.
That's 15%.
Okay, thank you. And also, will we expect same level of revenues from online and metro carrier in the next year?
As I explained in OLA, the fourth quarter was an outstanding quarter, so we don't expect that to be the normal revenues for a quarter base. We expect that to really be in around, I don't know, close to 90 or 100 million instead of what we saw in this quarter.
Okay.
The whole business segment, we expect to be account for 10% of our revenue,
mm-hmm,
for the guidance that we provide,
Metro Carrier,
including Metro Carrier and OLA. OLA itself will provide to us around 420-430 million pesos on that part. The margin that those companies have are lower, of course, that we provide, and that's why we make all the calculation of the adjusted for cable operation. You'll have all the information clear for the first quarter, you know, for the first report of the first quarter. That's why we wanna provide that as a separate. But you can account for 10% of our revenue, all our metal carry all together, and all accounting for 420-430 million pesos pretty much of that.
Okay, thank you very much. And my second question will be, what will your business strategy, will you focus in which cable service primarily, and will you maintain your strategy of being selective on subscriber base?
Okay. So the first part of your question was on which market? Can you elaborate more on that question?
Which business will you focus more, more like internet or something like that?
On internet or video, which one?
Which business will we approach more? Which segment of the market or business?
Well, in which business primarily? In your internet business, or what will be your driver for the next years?
Well, if you see the guidance, 15% of the growth, not 15, but we're going to grow the internet by 15%, while video we're forecasting 8% growth in subscriber video. Of course, our base is still 2,150,000 video subs. So the 8% growth in video, still our base, our main source of revenue is video on that part. But if you see, we will reach, with that 15% increase, we will be reaching more than 1.3 million internet subscribers on that part. We are very, very focused in our strategy to do a double and triple play packages. The success of this will be to continue to increase the single ARPU or the total ARPU of the company by bringing more RGUs per unique subscriber. Right now we're at 1.63, and we expect that to continue to increase because, you know, when you grow 8% video and 15 and 10% the other two products, our RGUs per unique subscriber continue to grow. Our strategy for one and the other one, they go together. We believe we have a strong potential to increase in internet and broadband because our service is good. It has the best fit in the market. And when you bundle those with video, it makes a lot of sense. Telephony, you know, 65% of the market in Mexico is still of the market that we were approaching, almost 70% is still keep a telephone line even though they use it not that much. If we are efficient to bundle, they go on the hand with internet. That means growing internet, 15%, and 67% of those subscribers, they come with video. We have a very, very clear strategy to provide those two services to the existing customer base and going with additional packages
low price packages to the market out there. Those packages with lower video output, for example, we only sell those on double or triple package. So at the end, the output per unique subscriber is very good, if you call it that way. So I don't know if I answer that as the business strategy that we have on that part, going and focusing mainly in internet, but also video with the new revolution of advanced services in video. We cannot close our eyes that video is really, really changing by through the HD and the interactivity that we have and the satellite services done.
Okay, thank you very much, and congratulations for your results.
Oh, thank you, Mary. Thanks to you, Mary.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Andre Coelho with Scotiabank.
Hello, guys. How are you? I have two questions of competitive nature. The first one is on OTT. We are seeing in the United States that most cable operators, including Time Warner Cable, Comcast, Charter, and others, are reporting video actions, pay TV discounts. On the other hand, we're seeing Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, etc., gaining millions of subscribers. So I was wondering if you can give us some color as of how you see things in Mexico. I know you recently launched your OTT product. If you can give us an idea of how that is going. Also, we saw net additions, PTV net additions in the quarter going up slightly against Q3, but down on a yearly basis. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they were down approximately 80% on a yearly basis, PTV additions. So I'm wondering if we are already seeing in Mexico the first effect of OTT substitution, and again, I know you launched your products, so if you can give us some color as to how you are doing in that business.
Thank you, Andres. Those are two very interesting questions, and take all our thoughts and thinking all the time. We launched the OTT platform because we believe once the technology is in our side, the network, we have the bidirectional network to provide that. And also because it's a trend for years to come to watch non-linear TV. The way that we had before on the video on demand platform, we had that, and we have had that for the past years already on the video side. The problem we have is that platform is very limited in terms of the potential of the set-top box and the user interface of the guy. That's why we're launching a new one. And also because it makes sense to match that service with other devices now that we can do it since technology is there. We're very aware that in the United States and also in Mexico, there are other OTT aggregators, Netflix being the most important of it. We believe that with some restrictions, we can have a differentiated product in two terms. One, we have the ability of providing linear TV with some, not all, but some of our channels that we have in our lineup. We have also the right to provide catch-up TV. And we also have something that Netflix doesn't have, which is the OTT, call it that way, services that our existing programmers provide right now in the market. Let's say a subscriber of Megacable that has the on-demand service has the ability to watch that transactional and SVOD on the TV and other devices, but can access also to the web service, OTT service of, for example, HBO Go, or Fox Play, or ESPN Play, or Movie CD Play, ESPN Play, inclusive. It gives the subscriber a great experience that they don't have with other vendors in the market. At the end, we also have the local content. We already have Televisa content for some of those platforms. You know, each programmer has different rights and different content that we can take and we can provide to the subscribers. And we have also access to studios in the United States. Netflix is investing a lot in new and exclusive content. We believe the industry as a whole is also keeping some muscle and effort to have good movies and series to our subscribers. Right now we're providing 4,000 hours and increasing those to 10,000 hours of on-demand service in all of the different platforms. And the third one of that is that we want to be, once we finish this introductory stage, we want to be more aggressive in terms of providing that platform to our upper or higher revenue subscribers that are the ones that can have the money to pay other OTT platforms. Okay, we want them to have it inside ours once they pay us, for example, the Mega Total that goes for 999 pesos, which is way above our average revenue, should have that package included just for having that triple play package. For example, that triple play package has HD included, has VOD and OTT included, has also 20 megabits included, and will have by next year the possibility of having 50 megabits. So that's how we're trying to approach the OTT, the OTT market and the OTT platform. The second question, I don't know if you have anything else regarding the OTT on that part. You want to go any further, or I'll go to the second question.
Yeah, well, related to this, if you are seeing or not in your view that OTT is already impacting or substituting in the high-end segment, perhaps in the A and B segment. Obviously, at this point, we probably shouldn't expect the CEO of these segments to be, to be attracted to OTT for the moment. But A and B segments may already start to be attracted to OTT. So, do you believe that it is something already going on in the Mexican industry? Is that perhaps explains why your pay TV additions were lower in the quarter compared to last year, or do you think that this is still at its very early stages in the Mexico market?
Well, I can tell you, for example, that on the digitized services that we are providing, we are driving additional revenue because of the HD and the additional set-top boxes, and some of the transactionals that we provide on the TV. We have increased very slightly premium packages like Movie TV and HBO Go. That's why those guys are bringing also their OTT platforms to provide a better service to subscribers and giving them a value added, so they don't lose that subscriber to Netflix, for example. We believe on those blocks that we should have also a product, a more robust product on the on-demand than what we have before, and that's why we launched it, and we're going to get better, try to get better on that service, because I do agree with you that the additional income, if it's not coming from HD and it's not coming from the package that we have, instead of having HBO as a premium package, we can have the risk on those levels of having people paying that service instead of paying a premium package to us. That's why we launched OTT. And let's see, Netflix is a very strong and a scary operator. Sorry to say that word, but you know, it's been proving in the States and other parts that has grown a lot in terms of subscribers on that part. And I think we need to be more efficient on that area to provide bundle services. We have the advantage also that 90% of our market base or more, I don't know, I'll tell you a number in a second exactly, but that base in Mexico is mid to lower class. So when you are adding them, you know, those amount of prices that they need to pay, you know, another 100 pesos to Netflix for having two simultaneous users on that part, or 130 for having four, if we are efficient with our existing programmer, since our market is so price sensitive, I think we can have a very strong opportunity to provide in our services, and you know, let's see, maybe those A and B levels will like our service, or some of them will have Netflix. Why not? I mean they will have it, but of course they will need 20 to 50 megabits to look for a fair Netflix. You know, just check what happened in the States. You know, Netflix just announced that it's paying Comcast for using the network. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, right now we've been declared by the same OTT platform, Netflix, like the best internet service to be used in order to use Netflix in Mexico. So we're focused on providing the best service, all the platforms that the customer requires, the interactivity that the new generations will require. But trust me, you know, the way we see TV, for example, I'm more worried to increase video penetration like we're telling you, to have those 8%, instead of making 8, making 10% video. And the only way that we can do that is by making a much more affordable, low-price product, you know. For example, that price that has 50 channels, you know, you will have that bundle with internet in some markets, in some very, very low economic level, for as long as $20. If you want to charge them an additional $8 to watch Netflix, trust me, Homero, Andres, it's not easy, you know. We have the restriction of the market on that part. So we keep a good eye of what the market is doing. We want to have a foot inside, and we're very, very, we have very clear what Netflix will represent and what the OTT will represent, or other OTT platforms will represent.
Thank you. And just one last question, and I think this is important for the first half of the year. We're seeing Sky giving out the World Cup for free or at no additional cost, even in the low-end prepaid packages in DTV. So I was wondering, you know, what kind of pressure this can put on the overall and in the whole pay TV industry in Mexico. I understand you guys will have also some matches too. So if you can give us an idea of Mercado's strategy on the World Cup, and if Sky giving out the World Cup for free may have an impact, or you're expecting some impact in net additions in the first half of the year. Thank you.
Thank you, Andres, for asking. That's something I was planning, but since Enrique is not here, my participation was too long. I didn't want to make it longer on that part, but it's important that you guys know that we have the right for the World Cup. To transmit 40 games of the World Cup. Sky has 64. That's the difference. That's nothing different from what we have in other World Cups in that sense. More than that, we have more games now than what we have 3 or 4 World Cups in the past. So we feel very confident. All our markets, they do have the campaign that says the World Cup is already Mega Cable 2. Like Sky has it in their market on that part. They are announcing you know, the World Cup, the total World Cup on Sky, and we are, you know, making a little bit fun of that about that we have the really, really, really important 40 games of that with a good HD resolution on that part. So it's not gonna affect us negative. Positive, normally, when there is a World Cup, everybody starts feeling more the pressure of having video subscribers on. That normally every 4 years, but it's already been taken on that 8% growth that we were giving to you on the guidance that we described to you. It's part of our. I would be more worried if we did not have the World Cup. We do have it, so we have a good product to come and good part.
Okay.
I don't know if you wanna go to your second question, which is I can't recall where the net ad on video. Is that correct?
Yeah. No, I think you already answered on the OTT. Basically, yeah, we saw a slowdown in pay TV additions on a yearly basis. There was maturing or the macroeconomic environment, or perhaps you're turning, increasing certain segments, etc. So just some color on what caused the slowdown in pay TV on a yearly basis.
No, like I explained to you on the OTT, it has nothing to do with that part. We don't have any migration of video subscribers to the OTT platform. I can assure you that. OTT, you have to look to OTT in the next years, in the future years. The way I see it, Andres, it's a premium package to the existing subscribers. You know, years ago we used to have just HBO, then we have HBO plus movie CD, we have a super digital package for us, and now we have an OTT or on-demand package that the subscriber can get a hand on it in addition to our basic subscriber. I don't think that's going to happen, you know. AB levels will have also the access to Netflix or to our on-demand according to the use and how they feel more comfortable with and some special product and pricing on that stuff. That's the way I see it for the years to come. We are ready to migrate after those 5 years or 10 years or whatever, or 50 years into the future to a non-linear. We have our platform to have that. The reason why we have a less net add on that part just came from our strategy of being more selective and having people or subscribers in our system really, really, the subscriber that is in Megacable is the one that has to be paying, and we disconnect every promotion that was affecting our P&L. This means going for the subscriber because I want to be very aggressive, I want to get market share, I want to do this and that, yes, but 2 months later, that subscriber is gone. And then I gotta go back and ask the guy for permission, please come. Well, finally, those guys don't want pay TV, you know. Don't want pay TV,
right.
Or they are watching pay TV for free. Well, I need to go on and sue them and disconnect them. That's what we did 2014. And we expect 2014 not to change dramatically our strategy. It's been proven to drive more revenue than cost and OPEX on the company. And that's something we're committed to our board and to all you guys and the market out there. So we want to get the 8%, but with a very balanced formula in between growing the market, but growing the market with numbers that make good sense. Because this, you know, we're spread about 25 states in the country, more than 220 municipalities or small towns or cities. Once you make promotions too aggressive, you might end up just growing and not bringing revenue, bringing OPEX. We don't want to do that. And that was the reason why our subscriber base was so conservative in 2013. We have to push the brake, you know, and look for a much more smart way to do it. And we expect that to change in 2014. That's why our guidance has a growth. I don't know, Luis, you want to say something?
I want to mention, in addition to what Raimundo has just said, and in really in agreement with your question, yes, if you recall, the government was expecting to grow more than 3% last year, and at the end we grew barely 1%. So especially in the second half of the year, the economy was not as good as expected, and we also think that impacted the bottom line, the number of subscribers.
Yeah, you're right.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you, Andres.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Martin Lara with ActiveFirst.
Hi, good morning. Could you please tell us what was the amount of sales and EBITDA that Ola generated in 2013, please?
Yeah, the revenue that was generated by Ola in 2013 was
130 million. 130
million. And the EBITDA was 27 million.
That's for the full year, right?
Yes. Oh, no.
Those are the numbers for the fourth quarter, and that's the full amount that affects Megacable in the numbers of Megacable.
Right. As a company, as a full, they made $336 million in revenue. And
Million pesos,
yes.
Not dollars. It's not such a large company. We hope to acquire for a couple of million bucks a company that is $330 million.
Right.
But no, it's $330 million pesos.
And yes, with EBITDA around $47 million.
And what can we expect going forward?
What we just said is $420 million for 2014, and with a similar margin of 14%, 13 to 14%.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Welcome. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Rodrigo Villanueva with Merrill Lynch.
Hi. Good morning, Raimundo, Luis. I was wondering if you could give more color on the reason why non-controlling interest represented around 14% of net income during the fourth quarter compared to an average of 4% in the past. And what can we expect from this respect? That would be my first question.
Yeah, Rodrigo. Hold on a second. Luis is looking at it. Okay. He's talking about the minority.
Right. I saw your question, Rodrigo, that you were asking if there were other companies that we were, like, on the interest, minority interest, and why we were growing so much. Can I refer to you, giving you the numbers? I will answer that in 10 minutes after we leave, because I was putting the numbers together, and I'll send it out to you because there needs an explanation.
Okay,
basically, it's the companies that we have are minority, and I'll give you the names, the numbers. Basically, it's that we have more companies than the one you were asking.
Okay.
There are other small companies there that have been always there, but there were some changing in taxes and that made the changes.
Okay. So, and what about going forward? Shall we expect it to come back to similar levels as in the past at around 4%, or shall it be in between 4 and 14%? What shall we expect going forward, Luis?
What happened this year was not normal, so we think it's going to be back to 6%, more or less.
Okay. And my last question is regarding the fiscal reform. I was wondering if you calculated any type of impact on Mega's earnings, if there's any, and if you could share anything with us on that respect, that would be great.
Yes, so first of all, we reiterate that we do not consolidate for fiscal purposes, for tax purposes, so we don't have an impact there. Basically, the only impact that we see from this reform is coming from the elimination of the benefit of the immediate deduction, and we are looking for ways of replacing that. But yes, we think it's going to be impacting not much on our tax rate. We think that it's going to increase maybe by 1 percentage point, maybe as much 2, but we don't think that it's going to be further than that.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Luis. Raimundo. Have a nice weekend.
Thank you, Rodrigo. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. We have no further questions at this time. I would like to turn the call back over to Mr. Fernandez for closing remarks.
Well, thank you, everybody, for your interest in Megacable. We have a very, very productive and long conversation. We hope we answer all of your concerns, but if not, please don't hesitate to contact us. We look forward to speaking with you all again at the end of April for our first quarter call. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.